This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I am not the product of my circumstances. I am a product of my decisions. These are the words of Dr. Stephen Covey, an American educator and author, a businessman, an influential public speaker, listed by The Time magazine as being one of the 25 most influential Americans. And he's the author of one of the best-selling non-fiction books in history called The 7 Habits of the Highly Effective People. And he crowns this list of habits that are needed if you wish to leave a legacy behind you and be influential and leave a lasting impression. He crowns this list of habits with proactivity. And take it as a rule, dear brothers and sisters, it is impossible that there should be a value of some sort which Islam has not promoted. And Islam has given this value of proactivity an abundant share of sponsoring and encouragement. How does it do that? At times the Quran urges us to remember the people before us who lived by this value of proactivity. Allah Almighty tells us that the Prophet of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. I have rushed to you, my Lord, so that you may be pleased. Look, he has rushed to his Lord. This is a description of proactivity, and this is something Allah admires. How else? At times the Quran describes the prize that has been prepared for the people of proactivity. Allah Almighty said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. He said, race to the forgiveness from your Lord and race to a garden as wide as the heavens and the earth that has been prepared for the righteous. Allahu Akbar. How else does the Quran promote this beautiful value of proactivity and initiative taking? At times it informs us that in Allah's eyes, the proactive people and the inactive ones, they are not equal. Allah said, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. He tells us that those who fought in the path of Allah and they gave in charity before the conquering of Mecca, they are greater in the eyes of Allah Almighty than those who did that afterwards, when Islam was still weak and he was still planting the initial seeds of Islam. To fight or to give charity during that time is greater in the eyes of Allah than those who do so after the conquest of Mecca. At times the Quran describes the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the people of proactivity, they will enjoy on the Day of Judgment. You've read the ayah where Allah Almighty said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. And the foremost, Allah said, the front runners, right? The foremost will be the foremost. Those are the ones who will be brought near in gardens of pleasure. Allahu Akbar. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Are you seeing how the Quran emphasizes this value of proactivity so much? And it wasn't just the Quran, by the way. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad, did not fall short at all in encouraging the Muslims to live by this value of proactivity and initiative taking. He would say in the famous dua, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Oh Allah, bless the early morning hours for my people. And he would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a profound hadith, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ سَبْعًا. Rush and do good deeds before you are overcome with one of seven things. هَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا أَوْ غِنًا مُطْغِيًا أَوْ مَرَضًا مُفْسِدًا أَوْ هَرَمًا مُفَنِّدًا أَوْ مَوْتًا مُجْهِزًا أَوْ الدَّجَّالُ فَشَرُّ غَائِبٍ يُنْتَظَرُ أَوْ السَّاعَةُ فَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ. Allahu Akbar. Rush, he said, and do good deeds. In other words, be proactive before you are overtaken by one of seven afflictions. He said, are you waiting for poverty, which will make you unmindful? Are you waiting for prosperity, richness, that will corrupt you? Are you waiting for a disease, which will weaken you? Are you waiting for old age, that may disable you? Are you waiting for sudden death, which will surprise you? Or are you waiting for the Dajjal, the Antichrist, who is the worst of what is to come? Or are you waiting for the hour, the Day of Judgment, and the hour will be most grievous and most bitter? Allahu Akbar. With this said, we're now ready to ask the question, what are the categories of people when it comes to proactivity? In reality, people's approach to proactivity varies immensely from person to person. We're not all the same when it comes to this value of proactivity. As George Bernard Shaw, he would say that the world has three kinds of people. There are those who make things happen, and there are those who watch what happens, and there are those who wonder what just happened. Subhanallah. Let us take a look at these categories. And as you hear this, brothers and sisters, ask yourself, which of the three do I fit in? You have a category of people who are the least proactive of the three. They will always find an excuse for their inactivity. At times, they will say things like, you know, unlike so-and-so, I don't have any special talents that stand out. Sometimes they will say, you know, it's my financial situation stressing me out. Other times they will say something like, other people will do it. For such a people, regardless of how ideal their circumstances are, they will always identify a hurdle to excuse themselves from the life of proactivity and initiative taking. But wait, there is a second category of people when it comes to proactivity. They are a level better than the category before them, but they can still do better. How come? See, these people, they genuinely love the concept of doing good deeds, right? They really want to leave a lasting impression before they pass away in preparation for the hereafter. But nevertheless, it remains secondary, tertiary to their life priorities. So yeah, I mean, they may set aside some time for it to lead a proactive life of vision building and Islamic project creation, but that's only if and when time permits, right? If they find a moment here and there, yeah, don't get me wrong, they won't fall short in taking Islamic initiatives. But if that moment does not show up in of itself, it won't bother them an awful lot. Nor will they necessarily force their schedule to fit it in. On top of this, this second category of people, they thrive on words of encouragement and praise. But should such encouragement quieten a little bit, or even if they experience challenges along the way, their light of proactivity is very quick to dim. So that leaves us with the third category of Muslims. When it comes to proactivity, what do we know about them? They are a people who do not wait for the ideal people or the ideal circumstances to arrive. According to them, the greater the challenge, the greater the opportunities to prove themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know that the ideal circumstance of time and money, they don't arrive. So they do something about it. They don't give the planning of their hereafter their spare time, their spare money. But even when they're busy at work, or they're spending time with family, or tending to the necessities of life like we all do, it's still on their mind. By day, by night, how do I plan for the religion? What's my legacy? Furthermore, they don't wait for an invitation to do good. They impose themselves on the scene of hereafter preparation and Islamic project building. They're also not reactionaries. They don't thrive on the cheering of people. Whether these Muslims are praised or blamed, whether they are supported or they're forsaken, whether they are themselves healthy or ill, they have understood that the ideal circumstance and spare time never actually arrives. So what do? They engineer the circumstances needed to get them to Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So they are highly motivated. They are initiative takers. They source their strength not from people. They source their strength from Allah Jalla Jalalu, from dua, perpetual prostration during the night, good companionship who support one another, stories of the revivalists that they keep revisiting from the Quran. And the only thing that bothers them is that they don't have a longer life to fulfill the never-ending demands of their proactive mindset. Subhanallah. May Allah make us amongst this category. Allahumma ameen. Now, theory aside, allow me to share with you a case study of an individual who raised the bar of proactivity so high that he only comes second place to a prophet. He is a man called Abdullah ibn Uthman. better known as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him. A wonder of a human being whose voice was quieter than other people's and whose deeds were a lot more discreet than others. Yet somehow, he would be ahead of the race every single time. As early as the Meccan phase, this was Abu Bakr's quality. This was his lifestyle. This was his mindset. Staggering, staggering proactivity. Consider this. When it came to embracing Islam, he didn't wait for anyone to set a precedent for him to see how it pans out before I jump on the bandwagon. No, he took a proactive role and he became the very first male adult to embrace Islam without the slightest bit of hesitation. When it came to the immigration, he took a proactive role and he was the very first to request the companionship of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that journey from Mecca to Medina, and he was granted just that. When it came into the entry into the cave during the immigration, he took a proactive role and he insisted to be the very first person to set foot inside of the cave to ensure that it is safe for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's entry. When it came to da'wah, inviting others to Islam, he took a proactive role. He hit the streets just a day into his own reversion into Islam. What did he learn by that time? Not much. But he brought back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the next day no less than 5 of the 10 men who would later be promised paradise, who were ready to embrace Islam. He came back with Uthman ibn Affan, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Talha ibn Ubaydillah, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Focus on this last one, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. What do you know about him? He is the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, Abu Bakr could have easily just said, I'll overlook him, because after all, he is the family member of a prophet. So, I mean, who am I to advise? The prophet knows better how to speak to his family, right? No, that didn't happen. Because this is not the mindset of a proactive Muslim. When it came to benefiting other people, Abu Bakr took a proactive role. Look, in every department of life. You know the hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his companions on one morning, who is fasting today? Abu Bakr said, I am, O Messenger of Allah. He said, whom among you has followed a funeral procession today? Abu Bakr said, I have, O Messenger of Allah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the third question, who has anyone fed a poor person today? Abu Bakr said, I have, O Messenger of Allah. He said, has anyone visited an ill person this morning? Abu Bakr, he said, I have, O Messenger of Allah. And so here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَجْتَمَعْنَا فِي مْرِئٍ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whenever these characteristics combine in any one person, he will enter into Jannah. Commenting on this hadith, Al-Qadi Iyad, he said that it means دخل الجنة بلا محاسبة ولا مجازات على قبيح الأعمال. He said, in other words, what this narration means, that such a person who does these characteristics will enter paradise without any prior accountability for evil deeds. No suffering of the day of judgment and no interrogation before Allah, backdoor entrance into Jannah. In fact, this is what is amazing. There are some narrations of this incident that you just heard, which indicate that this dialogue between the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr, it took place shortly after the Fajr prayer, just after dawn. In other words, by dawn, he had done all of those four things. When did he find time for that? This is barakah, blessing in the life of a person, and this is the reward for the proactive people. This is therefore, brothers and sisters, what proactivity looks like. So when you hear, for example, advice, you are the first to run with that advice. When it's time for the duha prayer, you're the first to bow and prostrate. When you come to know of a person who has gone astray, you don't wait for his family to complain to you. You immediately explore the various ways of guiding him. You've already started doing that. Yeah, when you come to learn of a crisis of some sort, you don't wait to be appealed to. You are one step ahead. You are already imposing your presence on it. When you hear a talk like this, You are the very first Muslim man or woman to consult your friends, your teachers, your relatives, saying, help me devise a project of proactivity. What next? What am I going to do when I close this video? This is what proactivity looks like, brothers and sisters. Now, I'm sure you will agree with me when I say that proactivity is a universally admired trait. Even if we aren't blessed to live by it, minimally we admire those who do. And we wish to be like them. So we ask, if it is collectively admired, why is it that some of us still fail to live a proactive lifestyle? I mean, yeah, it's true. At times we may blame the genetics, we may blame the circumstances, we may say I'm ignorant, I lack knowledge, I lack courage, a bad upbringing, or a mix of them all. But let's be honest, at times it's due to a reason that's far simpler than all of that. Belittlement of oneself. Yeah, so this is a person who genuinely desires to be an initiative taker and to live proactively with purpose, vision, and energy and motivation. But he is shackled with the whisperings of, who am I to do so? Like, what value could a person like me possibly add? And so what I wish to do now is offer a few examples, which inshallah will pull the rug from beneath every such excuse. And you will notice, brothers and sisters, that these examples of proactivity that you're going to hear, they don't belong to prophets and they don't necessarily belong to saints. So how can you belittle yourself? Example number one, Abu al-Haytham. Have you heard of him? Abdullah, the son of the great Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he would say, كُنْتُ كَثِيرًا أَسْمَعُ وَالِدِي يَقُولُ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ أَبَا الْهَيْثَمْ عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْ أَبِي الْهَيْثَمْ. He said, I used to frequently hear my dad, Imam Ahmad, saying, may Allah have mercy on Abu al-Haytham. May Allah pardon and forgive Abu al-Haytham. Who is Abu al-Haytham? Who was this great man who left this impression on the great Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. See, Imam Ahmad, brothers and sisters, suffered immensely in prison because he was defending the causes of truth and he would be lashed for doing so. And Imam Ahmad himself, he said that, I don't fear prison, I'm not afraid of being executed. He feared the whip, the fitna of assault of the whip. And on one day, when he was being summoned for his session of lashing, he felt someone tugging at his clothes from behind. So he looked back, and a man said to him, do you know who I am? Imam Ahmad said, no, I don't. The man said to him, Ana Abu al-Haytham al-Ayyar. اللص الطرار مكتوب في ديوان أمير المؤمنين أني ضربت 18,000 سوط بالتفاريق. He said, my name is Abu al-Haytham, that free spirit, the famous thief. He said, to date, it's on record that I have received 18,000 lashes on my back, and I've showed patience towards those lashes in obedience to the devil and in the cause of worldly gain. So, O Imam, you show patience as you are in the obedience of Allah and in the cause of the religion of Islam. Subhanallah. Despite his sins and his crimes, the thief, he didn't deprive himself from acting proactively. As a result, his words would have a tangible effect in strengthening Imam Ahmad. And he qualified himself for dua from the imam, which we envy him for. And the books of history have eternalized the words of Imam of Abu al-Haytham because of a single moment of proactivity that he courageously took. So on what basis do you belittle yourself? The second example I wanted to share with you is the example of a man called Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud al-Ashja'i. Who is Nu'aym? Well, in year 5 after the Hijrah, the Jewish community assembled an alliance for the purpose of doing away with the Muslim presence once and for all in Medina. The alliance was formed. Abu Sufyan and his army of pagans, they arrived at the northwest of Medina, and the tribe of Ghatafan, mercenaries, they arrived to the northeast of Medina with an army of around 10,000 men. This number, by the way, 10,000 fighters, the Arabs had never seen it before in their lives. It was a harrowing moment of fear. Situation was really dire. The Jewish communities was managing the event. The pagans of Mecca were participating. The ruthless mercenaries of Ghatafan, they had arrived. The siege around Medina was complete. And the hypocrites within Medina were spreading all sorts of propaganda. And the Muslims were, according to the Quran, بَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ their hearts had reached their throats. They were terrified. And in the midst of all of this, something amazing would happen that would begin to change the course of events. A new Muslim would act proactively. This is our hero, Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud al-Ashja'i. He left the lines of the pagans, crossed over into Medina, embraced Islam, and immediately he said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Murni bima shi'ta ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, instruct me to do as you wish. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Innama anta fina rajulun wahid, fakhadhil anna in istata'ta, fa innal harba khud'a. He said, look, you are just one man. And so if you are able to create disunity in the lines of the alliance, then do so, because war by its nature is deception. And so without delay, he started to devise an ingenious plan. And he successfully managed to sow the seeds of discord and unity in their lines, which would end up playing a key role in breaking apart their entire coalition, causing them to march away from Medina. Why? Because of a single moment of proactivity at the hands of a person who was, Islamically speaking, only a few hours old, brand new Muslim. So I ask you, dear brother, dear sister, on what basis do you belittle yourself? How can you use that as an excuse to not act proactively? The third of those examples I wanted to share with you belongs to an ant. This example of proactivity doesn't belong to a human being. It's in tribute to an ant which lived during the time of Prophet Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Almighty, He said, describing the kingdom of Sulaiman, Allah said, وَحُشِّرَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. Allah said that the soldiers of Sulaiman were assembled for him, soldiers from the jinn, and men and birds all gathered for him, and they were marching in rows. Can you imagine this type of kingdom, dear brothers and sisters? This was not normal prophethood. A man who had, by Allah's permission, control of the winds, the subservience of the jinn, understanding of the language of the animals, and a prophet whose kingdom was quite simply unheard of in the entire human experience. This is who Sulaiman was. And on one of those days, as he marched on with his assembly, an ant realized that they were coming, and so it feared that they would be crushed. And so it took a proactive role. Allah Almighty said, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْ عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ. When they finally arrived at the valley of the ants, قَالَتْ نَمْلَ. An ant said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ. O ants, ادْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ. Enter your homes. لَا يَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Lest you may be crushed by Sulaiman and his people or his soldiers without them realizing. Now think about it. This ant could easily have taken to a corner to save itself. No, but it decided to do more. Prophet Sulaiman, therefore, would hear the words of this ant. And as a result, the entire community of ants would be saved. Why? Because of the proactive role that was played by just one of those ants. A story which you and I would have never noticed, by the way. Yeah, we would have never known that this story ever happened had the Quran not documented it for us to recite. But this is the nature of proactivity, you see. Yeah, the story will be captured by the Quran, even if the star of the show was an ant. Proactivity is dear to Allah. So how can you belittle yourself? The fourth and final example I wanted to share with you is that of a hoopoe bird. On one day, Prophet Sulaiman noticed an absentee from his gathering. The hudhud, or in English, the hoopoe bird. Allah Almighty, He said, فَمَكَثَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ فَقَالَ أَحَطُ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِطُ بِهِ وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَئٍ بِنَبَئٍ يَقِينٍ. Allah said, the hoopoe bird didn't stay for long. It wasn't absent for long. And then it arrived and it said to Sulaiman, I have knowledge about something that you don't have knowledge about. And I have come to you from Saba, Sheba, Yemen, with certain news. Oh bird, what did you see? إني وجدت امرأة تملكهم وأوتيت من كل شيء ولها عرش عظيم وجدتها وقومها يسجدون للشمس من دون الله وزين لهم الشيطان أعمالهم فصدهم عن السبيل فهم لا يهتدون. The bird, it said, I found a woman who was ruling them and she was given something from all things and she has a huge throne. I saw the bird said, I saw her and her people prostrating to the sun instead of Allah. And Shaytan had made their deeds pleasing to them and he had turned them away from his way. And so they are not guided. The bird is complaining that this community was prostrating to other than Allah Jalla Jalaluh. Upon hearing this, Prophet Sulaiman would immediately take steps to guide them to Islam, steps which would eventually result in the guidance of this queen and her entire son worshipping community. All because of what? All of which stemmed from the proactive role which a single bird played. So there you have it. Examples of proactivity that inspired imams to stay steadfast, that drove away enemies and broke an alliance from Medina, that saved entire communities from destruction and saved other communities from the hellfire at the hands of what and who? At the hands of a thief, the hands of a new Muslim, the hands of an ant, the hands of a bird. So with this, we can really conclude that those who, despite hearing all of that, still insist that they've got nothing to offer, they have no reason to be proactive, that person may in fact be accusing Allah Almighty of not giving them the necessary resources needed to attain the highest grades in paradise. And this is nothing short of su'u dhannin billah, bad expectations of Allah. Is this your expectation of Allah? Brothers and sisters, proactivity has always been and will always be the fuel of the da'wah and reformation and revival and change. It is that vehicle that delivered Islam to Persia and Rome and Africa and the rest of the world. It was proactivity. Our history as Muslims describes a people of phenomenal proactivity, which included the old and the young, the fit, the handicapped, the male, the female, the scholar, the uneducated. Allah Almighty alone knows of just how many people were heading for a nosedive into hell, if it wasn't for certain proactive people who pulled them out. And only Allah knows how many talents and skills would never have been discovered if it wasn't for certain proactive people who uncovered them in these people and then channeled these skills for the cause of Islam. And only Allah Almighty knows how many communities who were oppressed, subjugated, who would never have been liberated had it not been for certain proactive people like yourselves who decided to carry this burden for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, as Dr. Stephen Covey, he said that we're not the product of our circumstances. We are the product of our decisions. And with paradise as a prize, our decision must be to live a life of motivation and vision setting and unlimited proactivity. I hope you will start preparing, dear brothers and sisters.